Hello, and this is Here's to Your Health with Dr. Burns. I am Dr. Burns, and I am here with Sherry Dillard. Sherry Dillard is a psychic and a medium, and she has written several books, and one of them is actually How to Find Your Psychic Intuit. So how are you doing today, Sherry?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too. So, I mean, it's like when I saw like everything that you do, I mean, it's like the talents that you have, and you said that you've been doing this for 25 years. What actually got you started, or how did you notice that you have the certain talent with being a psychic and a medium?
Well, like a lot of people, you know, you're just before we started talking about your daughter and her kind of budding intuitive ability. I think, you know, most kids tend to have some kind of intuitive energy ability, and I had that, and I probably had it a little bit more than my friends and my siblings. And so for me, I'm one of those people that really from a very young age, I saw, you know, people on the other side, and I knew things, and I didn't grow up in a house where that was necessarily talked about or accepted. I grew up in a very religious home, so I didn't really focus on it or even really want to be intuitive or psychic. I didn't even know the word psychic at that point. And it wasn't really until I got probably into my teenager years that my intuition kind of really blossomed, and I could no longer deny it. And then, you know, I'll make a long story short, just through kind of, I guess, one of those things where you just, life leads you the way it wants to go. I began to give readings when I was pretty, you know, into my early 20s. And pretty much this has been my profession for my whole adult life, has been doing intuitive medium readings.
Nice. Now, you were also saying, too, that you're a medium. So what's the difference, then, between a psychic and a medium?
Well, a psychic tends to pick up on energy information in the more material world, things like relationships, finances, health, career, those kinds of things. And a medium is specifically someone who connects with those on the other side, people who have passed over, or other higher angelic kinds of energies.
Okay. So then now, since you've been doing this for a while, and I know that there's like, I'm sure you've seen like in newspapers or radio stations or something like that where they're advertising, say like psychic reading for like $1 a minute and stuff like that. So how can you tell the difference? How can people tell the difference between like a real psychic medium from someone who isn't?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. You know, I always tell people that it's important in this whole world because there's no, you know, there's no degree you get and there's no certification you can get. It really helps to get referrals for people who have seen people. And so I think it's changing a lot. Years ago, people were really nervous about telling their friends or family members that they went to a psychic or a medium. I think that's changing a lot. A lot of that's, I think, because of television and certain shows are on, and it's much more accepted now. So getting a referral, a personal referral, I think is probably one of the best ways to know whether or not the person you're going to see is going to be able to really help you in the way you need help. And beyond that, if you don't have a friend or you don't know of anybody, kind of what you did, I think you told me you looked kind of on my website and you learned some about me. You know, today in social media, it's so easy to find out a lot about people. And I would say to kind of look at a person's website if they don't have one, kind of just, you know, Google their name or try to look in that internet kind of way, because pretty quickly once you do that, you kind of get a sense of who somebody is. But, you know, yeah, I know it's always kind of, you know, the other telling quality I can tell you is and I know this doesn't sound like a very good quality, but it is kind of true, is that if somebody can see you immediately, they're usually not very good. I hate to say it like that, but, you know, like people that are, you know, pretty booked up tend to kind of, that tells you something. I guess I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now, I'm really interested. I was looking through and I took your little quiz on your site on how the four different types of psychic intuit that's there. And when I took it, I seemed to have a mixture of emotional and spiritual. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Which ones do you mainly see, you know, like from people who have contacted you after they've read your book?
Well, you know, we all have all of the four types in us to some degree. And the quiz is a way to kind of get your predominant type so that you can also kind of develop the less dominant type. And that way you can kind of, it's easier, and if you're too strong in one type, like an emotional intuitive, then you can get a little out of balance. Like emotional intuitives, if they're out of balance and not, don't have the other three somewhere kind of there balancing it all out, they can get a little overwhelmed and overloaded with emotional energy. You know, you feel so deeply, you feel so much, you take on the feelings of others. And sometimes it's hard for an emotional intuitive to even know what's my feeling and what's not my feeling. So your combination, when you say emotional, intuitive, and spiritual, is a good combination. I'm actually emotional and spiritual too. Emotional, spiritual, intuitives tend to be in a service work more, and they tend to be working with others in more of a alternative or spiritual way, even though you will find emotional, spiritual, intuitives kind of as therapists, and you know, you can find them in more traditional roles. But a lot of times you'll find, like, you people who really care about others, really feel, because emotional intuitives really have a deep longing and desire to help and to heal others. And the spiritual intuitive, it's a good balance because it kind of brings a little bit more help in. You know, spiritual intuitives have an innate sense of the bigger picture in this spiritual way, that there are divine guiding influences. There's kind of a meaning behind things that happen. There's just and it helps balance out that real feeling kind of way that the emotional intuitive have. But to answer your question, this is interesting because, and it makes perfect sense when you think about it. Most of the inquiries I get from people who have read the book, who want to know more, is from mental intuitives. And it makes perfect sense because mental intuitives want to know more, you know. Mental intuitives have a deep desire to acquire, intuit, and intelligence, knowing, patterns. They want to cohesively bring it all together. And being able to contact me or write me an email or what, something along those lines, comes really kind of naturally to the mental intuitive to be inquisitive. And their intuition, like I said, tends to be focused more in thought energy, kind of knowing without knowing how they know, having a sense of why things are happening without maybe the concrete reasoning behind it. And a lot of times they'll know certain things and then they backtrack to get the reasoning and the logical behind that to kind of back them up. But they tend to kind of leap forward and know things through just simply through intuition.
Now, what about the physical? What about the physical intuits? What do they mainly do?
Well, physical intuitives, and I looked at your website, and a lot of the things I feel like you're, not a lot of them, but certainly some of the things I saw on your website about some of the things that you treat and physical ailments and things like that, you'll find with physical intuitives, because physical intuitives, think about it this way, the emotional intuitive draws energy information through the heart. The mental intuitive draws energy information through thought energy, higher chakra. And the spiritual is through the energy field. The physical intuitive intuits through the physical body. So they're bringing and absorbing energy information through the physical body. And a lot of times, unlike the other three types, they have no idea, they have no sense that they're intuiting information. They're just, it's in their body. And so a lot of times a physical intuitive will feel, will have like stomach aches and not know why, because they're kind of, and they're also, a lot of times physical intuitives will draw energy into the third chakra because that's their main intuitive chakra. And so they will a lot of times have stomach issues, digestive problems. They can also take on illness of others. They have a real strong, on the positive end of things, they have a real strong sense and connection to nature, to the earth. They're the types that often will have a sense of like a connection with certain animals or birds or crystals. A lot of times they'll work with stones. They're natural at that. I'm not a natural physical intuitive, and I have never been able to truly get how to work with crystals. Physical intuitives, they like talk to crystals. They kind of pick up all the energy from them. It's like they can be their best friend, you know. I don't even, that's like lost on me. But physical intuitives will also be good with healers, with plants too, and herbs. And they're also very good at psychometry, which is the ability to read energy information in objects. So they can pick up certain things, objects, rings of people or keys or whatever, and they can kind of get intuitive information through the objects.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So which one do you say is the most difficult to develop between the four?
Oh, well, that's a good question. It depends on the person, of course, and what their orientation is. I would say that emotional intuitives have the hardest time developing, unless they have a lot of mental intuition, they can have a harder time developing mental intuition, because for an emotional intuitive, they kind of like think through their heart, you know? So intuiting and thinking through their higher chakra, I don't know, I've had in working with people, it seems to be kind of almost, it just doesn't feel right to them because they're such deep feelers. But again, it depends on the person, because a lot of times an emotional intuitive will be naturally also connected to mental intuition. So it's hard to say. I mean, it really depends on what a person's orientation is and what their least, like what their lowest scores are. Like I said, you know, I've had a harder time, I would say, with physical intuition because I'm such a higher spiritual, emotional intuitive. But a physical intuitive would have a really hard time developing spiritual intuition because there's so much in their body that the idea of essence and energy is so foreign to them. You know, if they can't feel it in their body or hold it or kind of connect with it in that way, they're just kind of lost when what do you mean essence? What does that mean? What are you talking about? You know? But for a spiritual intuitive, it makes perfect sense. You know, energy makes perfect sense. So it really just depends on a person's orientation, I guess.
Okay. Now, when people seek you out, what are some of the things that they're mainly wanting to look at? Are developing their psyche intuition, or is it more personal aspects that they're looking at?
Again, it kind of, you know, before they develop intuition, they normally want to have a reading to kind of even know what the heck am I developing here? So I would say that first off comes the reading, so people have a broader awareness of what it actually is, because we have so many kind of preconceived ideas of what it means to be psychic and intuitive. You know, sometimes people think that being psychic means that you should know everything, you know. Why don't you know? Well, you know, you should always have that awareness right there. And, you know, as you get into developing your intuition and your psychic ability, it becomes clear that it is a development process, and it takes a certain amount of energy and effort to tune into certain things. And in my own life, I tend to be, when I'm not working intuitively and psychically, I'm very not intuitive at all, because I don't really want to be picking up on energy, because it becomes a little bit too much, a little too overwhelming. So I choose to really not be available in that way energetically, unless it is something that is going to be important to me personally. But I would say normally people will want to have a reading, and then they'll be real excited and interested in kind of developing their own intuition.
Okay, so when people start out, I guess, like with their intuition, do you feel that, I mean, it's like with you, that first is kind of like general feeling, general sense that happens before the detailed aspect of it comes in? Because that's when, I guess, like the fine tuning is when they're actually able to like exercise that intuition,
right?
That the more they exercise it, then the more fine tuned and honed their skills they can get.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I would say that I've been teaching a fair amount lately. And, you know, one of the things that's real important is, one of the things you have to teach people right at the beginning of developing intuition is kind of not to try to define things too quickly and jump to a conclusion and interpretation. Most of the development of intuition is not so much becoming more intuitive. It's actually really more about interpreting what you're already receiving and listening to that more, and listening with a more open, intuitive mind, as opposed to a, you know, I've got to figure this out real quick and know exactly what that is. Because we're all intuitive. We're all always, I mean, there's no way we cannot be absorbing energy information. Energy is all around us. We're energy beings. You know, we have a physical body, but, and it's all, our physical body at its core is energy, and but we have so much energy around us all the time, and our energy self, our aura, the energy field we have, it's not like it's steel, you know, it's porous, it's interacting with life all around us. So we're always interacting with energy, we're always absorbing energy, and we don't have to really become more intuitive. We have to really kind of learn how to integrate it and how to work with it more. So yeah, as you say, that's true. It's about kind of learning what your intuition, how it already is functioning, learning to listen to it, learning how to interpret what you're receiving. And like I said, you know, people in classes really want to jump to interpretation, and if they don't get it right, they feel like they're really bad at it, you know. Well, I can't do this. I'm not very intuitive. That person is so much more intuitive than me. And a lot of times it's simply because they have a preconceived idea of that a psychic should know everything, and it should be like, you know, like opening your computer and reading something on the internet. It should be real clear, real concise, and it should just be easy. And so it's a kind of like learning, teaching intuition is kind of teaching people a kind of real different way of absorbing energy and working with it, I guess I would say. And then, like you said, getting into the more detail, the more you do it, the more refined you'll get, the more you understand the communication and how to interpret it. But the interpretation is almost the biggest thing with developing intuition. What does it mean? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, so can one thing can mean, so interpretation is based upon the people's experience, is it not?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's definitely based on people's experiences. Absolutely. And what's interesting is that it's interesting because that is so true. But what's also true is that there are universal kinds of symbols and universal metaphors and messages that we can also get that, for instance, if somebody, let's say we're developing clairvoyance, which is the ability to see, visually see energy information through images, it can even be cartoon-like images, or seeing it, you know, kind of like in a vision of, it can feel kind of made up or not. But with clairvoyance, when we're able to, let's say we're in an exercise and we're seeing like a sea, we're seeing a big body of water. The personal interpretation might be that sea, that body of water, oh, I went to the beach last year. It must mean I'm going to the beach again, or it must mean this person likes the beach, you know? That must be what this is all about. But the kind of universal understanding of the sea, we'll say if you get a vision or you see that, it's such a universal symbol that it also is symbolic of emotion, of life, of spirit. And so it could mean something completely different. So it's kind of like being able to be flexible, listening more, and instead of jumping to that kind of it must mean that because I like the beach. It's kind of sitting with the images a little bit more and working with. And the funny thing is, you almost have to interpret intuitive energy through your intuition sometimes to feel what's right. You know, does that feel right or not? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes whenever you end up getting something like a vision or energy or a feeling about someone or like something that they need to know, sometimes is it hard to explain to someone like what you saw or what you felt?
Yeah, that's a good question too. Especially with classes, it becomes a very important thing that is I always tell people in my classes, that's one of my biggest basic rules is if anybody receives anything that feels negative or makes them kind of, provokes any kind of sense of dread or fear or stress for another person in terms of if this is a partner exercise, I always have them not say anything to their partner until they talk to me about it and communicate to me about it. Because sometimes people will get things that, again, they'll kind of jump to interpreting it in a negative way, or this must mean, this is going to happen to you or whatever. But when they talk to me about it and we kind of work with whatever they received, a lot of times it doesn't really it isn't really foretelling anything negative or bad. It can be interpreted in a different kind of way. And I tell people to you don't have to jump to interpretation. I actually feel, especially when you're learning, it's much better to receive an image or to receive a feeling or a knowing or whatever it is intuitively you receive and just sit with it. Don't jump to anything. You can go for a few days without even knowing what it means. Just let it continue to speak to you. Let it continue to unfold. And sometimes when we try too hard, it kind of escapes us. But if you can kind of let it go some and let it kind of just have its own energy, at some point what will happen is when you least expect it, you'll kind of get one of those like hits of, oh, that's what that means. Oh, you know what I mean? Like you're driving in your car and it's like, oh, yeah, now I get it. That's what that means. So, yeah, Yeah, a lot of times people are afraid, not so much as now as they used to be. You know, years ago, people used to be so frightened of doing intuitive psychic work because they were so afraid that, especially, you know, I'm in the South here, I'm in North Carolina, and it's not like it used to be, but for a time here, I mean, people were really afraid that somehow doing this work was, there was something inherently kind of dark about it, or they were going to get something really bad, or there were spirits out there that were going to kind of hijack them and, you know, torture them or something. But that's, thankfully, I think, you know, intuition and psychic awareness has gotten so much more sophisticated than that. So it's really not so much a problem as it used to be.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, and then, well, how do you know, you know, like for those that are starting out, like when they receive the intuition or inspiration about someone, like whether they need to talk to them or whether it's something just for them to know about this person that they've passed or that they know, how do you advise that?
Yeah, that's a good question too. You have great questions. That's one of the things I also tell people is that, let's say you dream about a friend or a family member, and it's something that kind of feels a little, I don't know, either personal or kind of, you're not sure whether or not to say anything. It might be like giving them some advice or something, and you're just feeling, you know, I just don't want to intrude on this person. I don't know if I should tell them anything or they're going to think I'm crazy or whatever. I tell people to say something to this effect, that if it's important for this person to know what I received or what I dreamt or my gut feeling intuition, then they'll simply ask me my opinion or they'll ask me what I think about something. And kind of putting that out there to the universe that if I've received something that this person knows, then simply have them ask me, have them open the door so that I can share this. If it's something that I don't need to share, that I just picked up on because I could, because I picked up on it, then I'm not going to, I'll take it as I don't need to share it unless they kind of open that door for me. And the funny thing is that happens. You know, people will definitely, once you kind of frame that and talk about it, people will definitely ask if you have, if it's a weird dynamic, but people will know if you have something that they need, you know?
Wow. So now, do you, from like friends and families and associates that you have, a lot of times do you end up getting phone calls from them saying, hey, I need some advice on something?
Not, you'd be surprised. I think, for one thing, I've kind of, it's weird, but I guess not considering what I do, but I tend to have, I tend to pick friends that will not do that, you know, and my family members know better than to ask. And I only say that because, of course, you know, my immediate family will never ask because they're, you know, because to them I'm just me and they don't kind of, you know, they don't look at me that way. But the other thing is, the more I know somebody, especially family members, unless something really hits me, and sometimes it really does hit me and I really know, but I tend to kind of not have that connection with them, relationship with them, so that I don't naturally, unless it's important, I won't absorb a lot of their energy. It's just kind of a weird thing, but I think because I've done this so long and I've had to survive intuitively, energetically, I have very good energetic boundaries with people. And I am not the kind of person that would ever tap anybody on the shoulder and say, guess what I know about you, or talk to a family member and say, oh, guess what I got about you. You know, boundaries, being a psychic, being an intuitive, boundaries are incredibly important to have. And anybody that does kind of come up and say, you know, I got this about you or that, I would really ask them to really pay better attention to their own intuitive boundaries, because it's a hard way to live, you know, that when you're always absorbing energy. It is really not easy, especially, you know, in this world with so much happening, you know. It can really be overwhelming, and it can actually make you ill, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Well, I know that we're about ready to break here at the half, and I was wondering, is there any last things you want to say before we leave?
Well, I, you know, you have great questions, and certainly if anybody wants to know more from me, my website is www.sherriedillard.com. That's S-H-E-R-R-I-E-D-I-L-L-A-R-D. And I have been talking about the book, Discover Your Psychic Type, and it's available pretty much everywhere. So if you want to know anything else about it, please feel free to pick it up. And I appreciate so much being a guest.
Oh, thank you so much for being on. This was, like, very interesting for me. I had fun. Thank you so much, Sherri.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. And we just got done just talking with Sherri Dillard and with talking about her new book and finding your psychic intuitive. I just ask people to remember to donate to the USO. They're the ones who, an organization, nonprofit, who really helps men and women out of our U.S. military. And I'm very grateful. I want to give a big thank you out there to the men and women who serve our country. Thank you very much for all that you guys do. So I'm a big, strong supporter of our men and women in our military. One thing that we have here is this, a second hour. It's going to be, we don't have any co-hosts or special guests. So I'm just going to talk a little bit here about some things that I've learned so far in the last few weeks. I've been having some interesting learning opportunities that have come about from training a dog that we have. And at first, when we've had this trainer come over and they basically, sit down, spend time with you, said, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. And then they leave, and then it's like up to me to kind of do the homework and figure out what it is that I'm trying to do and what I want, like the dog to do, like what type of behaviors I want them to have, what type of behaviors they've got that need to be changed. So basically, I brought this dog home and who has, brought in some like pretty bad habits from like digging, picking up shoes, chewing on them, barking all the time. And so it's been interesting finding out like why exactly he was barking, why he was digging, and a few other things. And at first, as soon as the trainer leaves, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I am so stuck. And I felt overwhelmed because there was this laundry list that needed to get done of switching these bad habits to good habits and setting in the rules and the boundaries for this new dog that just came in. And at first it was just so overwhelming. Things were so chaotic. Trying to get this new energy being in our house, like to kind of coalesce with the rest of us in the house as well and kind of develop a routine. So that happens with a lot of us. Like at first we look at the whole picture and we feel so overwhelmed with it that we feel like that we can't climb out. And then if you just kind of step back, kind of take things one at a time, then that's when things really start happening and when you start feeling confident. And that's something that I started to notice too with the dog that we have, is that the more confident I was, the quicker he was at responding to the training. When at first, it's like he was trying to be stuck in, and he was trying to be stuck in being, thinking that he had to take on the alpha dog role and wouldn't do some things and was still trying to sit there and train me as I'm sitting there trying to train him. And so we had kind of like this butting of the heads to, in a sense, even though it's, dog really couldn't talk, just body language wise, you could kind of tell. And so after a few days, I was able to start actually getting in and letting this dog know, in a nice way, this is the hierarchy, that, these are the rules that are going to be followed and this is what you're going to do. And after we were able to establish that, training went easier, and that we're still continuing to train and it has been easier. So I've been able to, on my own, without the trainer, be able to add a few things in. And now after a few weeks, it seems really good that everyone is kind of, the energies are starting to meld together. We all kind of know what we're doing with each other. And so it was a really big adjustment for everybody in the house, like dog and human adjustments. And so when it came to that, I was so excited. It's like when the next phase came up and we had the trainer come back and said, okay, now try what they call distance control or recall, which is you like throw a ball or you toss like their favorite toy out, where they grab it and then they come back with it. Except this time you call them back before they even reach it, to where they have to listen to you instead of going out to get their ball. Well, at first, like the first day that I tried to do this on my own, I was confused, the dog was confused, and he's just like, okay, so am I supposed to go out and get my ball? Am I supposed to stay near you? And I just felt, overwhelmed. And so for like a couple of days, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm sitting there like reading the manual that they left behind, with the instructions and, giving them a call, and I was just like, okay, And so finally, it's like after a couple of days, I was able to actually get like what it was that we're supposed to be doing. And now, I mean, it's like at first, you know, like our dog was, you know, kind of hesitant on, okay, well, you're calling me back, so I guess I can't go get like my favorite toy or ball. And when I was trying to tell him, no, you can go get it now after coming back to me, at first he was just like, oh, I don't know about that. But in the last couple of days, I've been able to throw the ball or his favorite or the favorite toy and call them back. But it still has the excitement because I still send them back out to go get it and bring it back to me. So through all this and, you know, like even like one that's a little harder than the other, you know, it's, I noticed that the calmer I am, the better responsive that our dog is with this. And that's kind of what it like is communication with people. Is a lot of times when we have that fear and we don't understand like what we're doing and how we're communicating, because we are communicating through fear or through other emotions, sometimes that message that we try to send to people can really be lost. People can interpret it like differently, like they're being attacked or they get defensive, you know, however it may be, even though you know, it was completely taken out of context from what you're trying to say. So a lot of times I've noticed that if I actually sit down and write out what it is that I want to say to someone, as long as it's not like a last minute thing, but something I've been thinking about that someone had a question of, I can actually like write it out when I'm calm and be able to address that person when things aren't so crazy in my life and be able to speak to them and, you know, seeing them here again, like as a person and not, or even seeing myself as a person and not seeing myself as, you know, someone who's stressed or have fear with how this person is going to respond back to me, then I am able to take that with that confidence and be able to convey to that person what exactly it is that I'm trying to convey. And one aspect that ended up coming out from this is when someone asked me to send some emails out to some people who are in the process of, I guess, relocating to different homes or cities, wherever it may be. So I sent an email out stating that, you know, look, if you need help, go ahead and let us know, because there's a committee of us that end up getting together. And so now I'm getting like these responses back and with what it is that they're needing. And so I'm forwarding those on to the head of the committee in order for those needs to be taken care of, because those needs are going to need to be dispersed out. So a lot of times having that organization and knowing what to say prior to, you know, usually helps out with stuff like that. And also being supportive as well for those people who are, I guess, like in charge of those committees. So a lot of times it's when it comes to communication with people or with other, you know, like dogs or if you're training, it's a whole team effort that actually goes into everything that we do on a daily basis. So the whole aspect, you know, like with kids, like the whole world revolves around them. And this is what's going on with them. It's totally outside of that aspect where you're encompassing everybody that you need in order to make all everything in, how I say, in everyone's world, you know, like work better. Whether you're incorporating, say, like employees, whether you're incorporating friends, whether you're incorporating like other people that you're needing help with getting from their strengths in order to help you because you know you have a weakness in that area. I mean, it's like for me as a, you know, SEO stuff, accounting, it frustrates the heck out of me. So I go to those who, and I interview and I find the people that are best suited for me and for what my needs are to accomplish the things that I'm needing. And so, you know, like with an accountant, you know, like I interviewed many accountants, and same thing with SEO. I interviewed many people to find the right ones to be able to help and for me be able to get this, you know, board together that I need for myself in order for things to work right in my life. And it's that way with everything. When we're all able to just like calm down and be able to, you know, think about things before rushing into it. Because trust me, I used to be like such a reactive person. When someone would talk to me, I would like blare out first. And then after that, I would calm down and go, oh, okay, that's not what that person meant. So, so it's okay. You know, even like with your kids, if you say, you know, I have to take a time out and you go somewhere, even if you lock yourself in the bathroom for a few minutes, so then that way you can calm down and then you can go back in and talk to them and let them know what it is that upset you, you know, in a normal, you know, tone. So then that way, and explain to them like why it is you want to have things picked up, or why, you know, like we in our household, you know, we do things this way when they're trying to fight with you. And I noticed that I get a better response that way. And, you know, in my house, they know, you know, like, look, I'm like, okay, I got to remove myself from the situation right now. And then I end up coming back to it and then able to actually be able to explain how I feel and what's going on without anybody else like blowing up or becoming defensive. And sometimes when we're in the heat of the moment, we can create our own drama. I mean, and we can just blow things up out of proportion so badly that, you know, sometimes it is so hard for us to backtrack on some of the things that we've said, because either we don't meant it, or these are frustrations that we've been holding on to because of things that we've seen when we have been frustrated. And so sometimes, or a lot of times, that's why it's good to just to kind of, you know, it's okay, like, not to answer right away, but to say, you know, just give me a few minutes before I answer that, because it's not a weakness to delay answering someone. So then that way you can actually sit back and actually see what's going on in the process, because when you're heated and the emotions are going, and you know, that's when we see things so differently than when we're not like in the moment and not so out there, put ourselves out there with it. And it, and I definitely know about, you know, opening up my mouth and sticking my hand in my, or sticking my shoe in my mouth and chewing lightly. So I've done that many occasions. Matter of fact, I still do. There are many times I fall flat on my face with something, and it's like, you know, but it's okay to go back, apologize, let them know, you know, and then go back and talk things out with someone. So when it comes to stuff like that, these are just some of the things that I've worked on and have seen just with the communication that comes about just from training a dog, and that there are many opportunities. You can make training fun. You can make situations fun. They don't have to be serious. And when things are fun, people learn quicker than if it's like a serious situation. And so what I try to do with the dog, that our family dog, is be able to train in a fun way, even though he knows that, you know, I'm still the alpha dog and that these are the rules that you need to go by, that he seems to enjoy it better instead of, you know, like crouching and hiding. Because apparently a type of dog that we have or breed has one where it's bred where fear ends up coming in. So that's the other thing that we're working on, is being patient with that, getting him out in public, over to, you know, like where there's people around, like an outdoor mall or outdoor cafe or something like that, and just kind of sitting there and then just letting him look around and seeing his body language of the heavy breathing, and, you know, seeing how he is, and trying to, you know, where he has to calm himself down. But all I'm doing is just sitting there, you know, because if I started acting up and if I started, you know, adding more energy to the energy that this dog is putting out, it's going to make this dog react even more to the fear that they already instinctively have. So I noticed that by staying calm, that it still takes a little while because this is the first time that we're doing this. But eventually, you know, like he calms down and is actually, you know, will do very good. And, you know, I'll just kind of like look around and say like, hey, instead of being hypervigilant and just kind of looking around and just like every little noise, wondering what in the world's going on. And for a lot of us, it's that way too, where when we're in a state of fight or flight, which happens to all of us these days because we're in, you know, I mean, there's just so many things going on in this world, you know, like between what's going on in Syria and other parts of the country to where a lot of people are having to be on alert during, you know, like that time. And it's like in every little noise, wondering, you know, like what's going on, what's going to happen. And we can find little pockets, you know, even during that time of that heightened awareness of, you know, being able to find within ourselves a little bit of a joy, you know, that something that reminds us of the joy that, you know, that either that you used to have or that you do have now, to, you know, bring that in and to bring a little bit of the fun in with it, you know, for especially like for our own sanities from all the stress that we are particularly under these during this day and time, and being able to want to be able to find things that we used to enjoy and remember those things that we enjoyed, that actually enriches our lives and be able to help us be able to cope with the chaos that is around us. And I know for a lot of people, it's hard to find that. It's hard to find that peace, especially in places where, I mean, on the outside, all the chaos is going on. And, you know, like outside their houses, just even like outside their windows, you know, with the chaos that's going on out there. But there's still good things that are going on. There's still, you know, memories that you have that you can cherish, the good things that you remember that you can write down that will always be there and will always stick with you, because those memories will never go away and no one can take those from you. That's for you. That's what you hold close to your heart, whether it's memories of, you know, family getting together or of friends, you know, like that you had, or, you know, little things like playing practical jokes on your coworkers and stuff like that. Those memories won't fade. Those are still in there. That's still a part of you. It's still ingrained in you. And that's a lot of times the things that we end up losing when we're so stressed and we're so on the defensive and so hypersensitive and looking out like my dog is just like with every little noise, every little person that goes by. I mean, it's like, you know, having to turn the head, ears always up and not relaxing. It's, you know, can be very taxing, and trying to train, you know, retrain someone not to be afraid is one of the hardest things to do. And with, I mean, this dog that we have is definitely, is one of the more challenging ones that I have of actually being able to say, look, it's okay. You know, you don't need to be afraid. And, you know, so, I mean, being patient with them and being able to, you know, wait for them to be able to calm down, but I have to be calm myself in order for that to happen. And I think it's that way with all of us, that if there's someone who's just like in this heightened state, a lot of times it's not about us. So if they end up offending us for something that they said, a lot of times it's not about us. And I didn't get that for a long time, that it's not about me that they're talking about, that it's something that's going on with them and with their world. And so sometimes you could have two people that are like fighting, you know, like with themselves, and that they're trying to talk to each other, but yet it's not about, you know, the person that they're talking to. It's actually about them and what's going on in their life. And so that's why it takes a lot of time. It took me over 3 years. I'm still learning. I said a lot of times I still fall flat on my face about learning about that peacefulness and that stillness that we need to have in order for us not to feel offended by someone or having to put the defenses up, because a lot of times it's not about us. And so and that's something that I absolutely love that I'm learning at this point in time. And it has really made my outlook so much better with things than it did before I started working on all this. And so that last message is, as I'm, you know, hope that everything goes well for those people in Boston. I hope that a lot of them, you know, that every one of them like help recover quickly with the tragedy that happened over there. And my heart goes out to all those across the world who are stuck in situations that they can't get out of. But we need to end the show. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening in. I'm so excited about a lot of the future guests that we're going to have. And we'll see you next time.